Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. How's it going, Andy?
Guess who got COVID?
Was your COVID?
How was my COVID? It's
Everyone's
not a
probably going to get
question.
it, except me,
I,
who hasn't gotten it.
except for you are just not human. So I've, and you're a scientist, so I don't know what you have in your, what you do in your labs, and what you're hiding from us. So, anyways, COVID has sucked a little bit. I apologize for sounding horrible. It's been like 3 weeks since Andrew and I have talked because I went on a family trip. Everything was A-okay until the plane ride back, and that's when like I feel like that's where like I ended up getting it from on the plane ride back because I think only like 10% of us were wearing masks on the plane. And
So that's not a lot. So I guess in any plane, do you have to wear a mask in America?
I don't know. The airline that I went on, they didn't really mandate it. They just like we hey, we recommend you wear it, but you don't have to. We're not gonna enforce it. So yeah. So it was weird. I don't know. Like it kind of just it sucked. Like I came back on a Sunday night, and then I didn't get started. And then I felt something weird in my throat. And then not until like Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I'm like, okay, I feel something really funny, and I feel really lightheaded, and like I just felt really funky. And then I, did the rapid test, and then lo and behold, the freaking rapid test is like, yep, you got it. So I'm like, perfect. So not this Wednesday, but like the last. It's been, shit, yeah. It's been 2 weeks since I've gotten it. So I'm on day 14, I think. And I like tested positive 2 days ago, still like very slightly. So I'm hoping that today I'll be different. So I still feel the nose is kind of clogged. My voice is still kind of messed up, but my energy's back, so which is nice. And I wanted to record because we haven't talked in like a while. So I'm like, there is a bunch of shit happening, television wise, that we need to like at least discuss. So that being said, for today's schedule, we have three main things. We want to talk about Miss Marvel, what's been going on there. We want to talk about The Boys, and then we're gonna end it with Obi-Wan since that just ended. And yeah, so that's what we have on schedule today. Besides that, how have you been doing?
Pretty good. I finished this. I don't know if you noticed. I had this glass of sangria that I finished. I kind of wish I had another one, but
You're drinking on the job? Is that what you're telling me, Andrew? That's what's
I
going
figured
on
out
here?
that a lot of Spanish people actually don't drink sangria, which I find quite disappointing. I feel like people should be drinking it more frequently. It's very good, but I think it's like a touristy thing. But I guess I'm still kind of a tourist, so whatever. Just go for it.
I would say you're a resident there now. You've been in Spain for like what, 2 to 3 years now?
Three and a half.
Three and a half. Yeah, so you're fine.
It's fine, but I mean, like, it's good. I like it, so I made some because I couldn't. Because if I go try to order it somewhere, people are like, "We don't have that." And I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Right.
But other
But
than that, doing good. Nice to see you.
yeah, thank you. I know it's been quite some time. I do not recommend getting COVID, but like you said, I feel like we're at the point in time where like everyone's gonna end up getting it at some point in their life, or at least like contracting it, whether you're like asymptomatic or not. But we are, yeah, I feel like we're at the time or whatever. But I feel like it kind of also manifested it because like I kind of wanted to be like, all right, will I survive this thing? It's kind of more of it, right? But I'm like, well, if I get it, will I survive it? I kind of wanted to know. And so there you go. I like manifested this onto myself.
Well, now you know.
Now I know that I have survived most of it. It's not over yet. Who knows? Stay tuned for that. Anyways, that's okay. I'll stop with the morbidity. Anyways, yeah. So we don't really have a movie to cover because we, you know, I haven't been able to go to a theater, and it's just, you know, the timing was off and I was like recovering, so we wanted to cover at least we have some shows to, you know, like watch or whatever. I would like to share a couple things that I've watched at least. I know Andrew said he only watched one thing, but I'll share shout out a couple things that I wanted to mention that I've watched. What was one of the big ones that I ended up watching that I really enjoyed? I started back on my anime phase, or my anime like craving, so I got back into an anime called
Dragon Ball Hunter Z. Hunter.
Yeah, of course. You're like, oh, I know an anime. Dragon Ball.
I thought it was gonna be like Dragon Ball Super.
No,
you're talking about real list, anime. But... Not that Dragon Ball is not real anime, but like Dragon Ball is like it's like American anime.
Okay, Andrew, don't be disrespectful. It was still made, you know, in Japan.
It still is, but I feel like, I don't know. There's no way that Dragon Ball Super is like, out of all the animes that are top 10, do you really, I mean, like, would you guess? I would have no idea. I'd love to know this, but I would guess Dragon Ball Super is not in the top 10 popular animes in
Japan. We're talking about Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball Z, like the original, like OG, like the Dragon Ball that like that you and I grew up watching.
I'm talking Dragon Ball Super, just whatever's going on now.
I have no idea, man. I wish I have not watched a Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super episode in, I think I tried watching the first one, but I wasn't in an anime mood, so I have not tried it. So I can't say.
It's a lot of filler, you know?
That is my reason why I avoid a bunch of anime. Because, if I know of an anime that, has a bunch of fillers, I choose not to watch it. At our age, who has the time, you know? So, at least the show that I watch right now, Hunter x Hunter, that has no fillers, and I'm pretty excited. It's a fun show, so I've been, watching that. A little bit of news, Andrew finally caught up on Stranger Things, but we're going to table it till the next time we talk, because by the next time we talk, we will have completed the first entire season, the volume season 4, because for some reason Netflix decided to just put the last two episodes on for next month for some reason, which is really strange, really weird.
It's super stupid. I think this whole the season's good, but I still just think the release schedule and the length of the episodes makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. Netflix is doing its own thing. It's figuring its own shit out. So, yeah. So, well, you know, going from that. I guess it's the only thing I wanted to shout out. I guess I'm more excited about things that are coming up, right? Which we can talk about at some point. But, for example, you know, today we're recording on the 26th and the new season of Westworld's coming up. So, I'm excited to watch that. What else is coming? And there's a couple other things coming out that I'm really... Oh, next week we have Thor and Love and Thunder coming out, which will be our next film that we're going to definitely discuss. A lot of good stuff happening. So, yeah. That's where we've been. I don't know if I already apologized for my head state of, COVID-ness in my voice. So, again, I would just apologize for that. But let's get into our first topic. Let's get into Ms. Marvel. Here, Andrew, I've been talking way too long, so I'm going to let you start this one off.
Okay, so where are we at with Ms. Marvel? I think latest Disney Plus show, would it be 3 episodes out of 6?
Yep.
So we're just about halfway through. I really like this one. I still like them all. I think this is interesting that they're all still relatively good. This is supposedly one of the lesser watched ones. I'd be curious to know why. I mean, it could be a lot of reasons.
Okay, come on, Andrew. All right. You know what? No bullshit, okay? You know why, right?
I don't want to admit that because that sucks. Okay. If that's why, that sucks. And boy, you think it's because she's Muslim?
I think it's because it's a teenage girl and she has to be, and she's a person of color. Yeah, I'm just going to straight up say it.
It could be those reasons. I mean, the main reason is, one, she's Muslim, which is goes into she's a woman of color. America, like, has a lot. This is not a history class, but long history.
The only reason why,
like, severe, severe prejudice with Muslim culture and society. And the other one being it's a young woman.
Yeah, and I'm just going to just be, you know, the only reason why I'm saying that's because there, you know, it got, on Rotten Tomatoes, it got bomb rated.
Yeah,
it got bomb rated, and what was the reason for it to be bomb rated? So, all right, despite all that bullshit, I'm having a lot of fun watching this.
It's really good. It's just like the comics. So for reference, like I read most of the first volume when it came out.
You gave me the first two trades. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Fun. And the thing about that first volume, at least, I mean, other writers and artists have taken over the character since. But Jew Willow Wilson was the one who created it. She's also Muslim. I mean, and it just like bled a certain amount of authenticity that you just couldn't fake. You know what I mean? So like you read that and you really could just tell like this was written by someone who's like experienced scenarios like this. And it very much is the comic, much like the TV show originally was written that like, you know, Kamala has some difficulties with like kind of blending her kind of more traditional Muslim culture with America. She's a first generation American. Her parents, you know, immigrated here from Pakistan. And, you know, things happen, right? There's problems, like her parents are overbearing. They have these cultural traditions that like some of her friends don't understand or other members of society think are weird and strange and stuff. But you could tell it was written by someone who's experienced stuff like this. And then on top of it, you know, she's like Spider-Man, right? She's a teenage hero. She's trying to live like this dual identity to help people. She has these powers she thinks she should use for good. She doesn't quite know how to do it. She only doesn't want to tell her parents. She's not going to tell all of her friends. So it was like a new Spider-Man, because in the comics, Spider-Man is much older now, right? You don't have a teenage Spider-Man. Well, actually, we do now.
Aaron, so we do. But I want to tell you two things, right? I want to say off of the whole Spider-Man thing, because if you bring it up, you don't have to say something. So the first thing I wanted to say was that, like, I guarantee you that a Spider-Man, like, again, if they were, you know, was, like we if we had teenage Spider-Man, Peter Parker, with teenage, you know, current Kamala, like, they'd be besties, you know what I mean? And that's the funny thing,
right?
Yeah,
they're both
very
similar. Like, I think they're these, like, normal people who are kind of teased, but they're not losers. This was always the thing that I liked most about Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Because I always thought, like, the first Spider-Man was too much of a dork. Like, I just think Tobey Maguire, like, overdid it a little bit in retrospect. Like, he was too much of a loser. And then Andrew Garfield was probably, like, too cool. I just think he should just be like some guy. Like, he's just like a normal person. And that's what Kamala looks like, right? She's just like some girl at school. Like, a lot of people don't really know who she is, but she's not this like total loser who's just getting like bullied constantly all day.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what I really like. It gave me that, like, you know, young Spider-Man vibe, which I like totally loved. And like you said, everything that you said, you know, like, I just want to echo what's like, again, she does get teased, but she's not the biggest loser there. She's awkward and just kind of fun to be around. Like, her energy is just all over the place, and she's just very fun, very relatable teenager stuff that she goes through, or whatever. And especially because I'm a firstborn, you know, generation from an immigrant family. So, like, I definitely get, like, trying that, like, what am I trying to say? Like, the like, double life, right? Where you're trying to, like, fit into your own social habit or whatever, but also trying to please, like, your own culture, family, and whatnot, and everything. So it's been a lot of fun seeing that. And that's the funny thing. Again, the second thing I wanted to mention about the whole Spider-Man thing is that, like, it's funny how Peter Parker is also, when he started, was a 17-year-old white boy who everyone is willing to watch. You know what I mean? So that's why I ended up the whole thing, and maybe I slipped the tongue. Maybe I loosened the tongue.
No, I think you're on.
Put me in check.
No, I think you're probably right. It's unfortunate that you're right, but it's got to be one of those two reasons. And to be honest, I would veer a little closer to the fact that she's a Muslim character, to it being, you know, why it's probably like one of their lesser popular ones. But regardless, I mean, like, this one's, it's great. I mean, like, at a high level, I think some things that are awesome about it, like, the art style is really, really cool. You know those first three episodes where they infused like her texting into the background while she's walking and stuff, so you can see like how the background is changing and that like displays like her emotional state in that scene. I mean, it's just, you know, cinematography like looks really great. Those are all really interesting stylistic decisions that I think they've made that really separate it from a lot of the other Disney Plus shows so far.
Yeah, 100%. I love how they're having fun with like and taking the liberty of making it so creative and fun that way to watch, because it's visually appealing too. It's just, it does not look like you're another, like, I forgot what criticism I read there on there, but they're like, oh yeah, it looks like another, like, you know, like a Disney House kind of show. I'm like, it does not. It is, like, you can see the quality of the show in it and whatnot. And again, the story and the character are just well written. So I've been having a lot of fun with this character.
And I think at the beginning, I really love the story. I like it, how it's what it's evolving. But I like the notion of her being like a Captain Marvel super fan and just like a dork in the context of the MCU this time, I think is super cool.
I feel like we can relate to being like, again, why I love this person, because like you and I are also like big Marvel geeks, you know what I mean? So it's like going to like a Marvel con that sounds appealing to me, you know, and just the love for it. So I'm like, yeah, like let's go for it. Let's do it.
So I like that. And then I like all the small stuff that they've added in that's like kind of more specific to her culture. You know, there's one episode where they had, you know, her, I forget her friend's name, the woman who's also Muslim, and the mosque, they had this, you know, this call out that the side for the women was like, you know, farther away, not well kept, stuff like that. It, you know,
yeah, it's Nakia.
Yeah. It's not in, you know, it's, I wouldn't call it necessarily like a center story line. It's related to her trying to be, you know, that whatever, like political representative of the mosque, but like, it's kind of in there and you can just tell that it's in there. Similar to the fact that like her mom is super overbearing, like didn't want her to go out past like 9 p.m. and stuff like this. Like, I like that. The dad even comes in with like the Hulk thing, trying to like appease her and like go with her. And it just like totally backfires. And she just like pretty much tells them like that she like, you know, she explodes like a teenage girl would sometimes and just tells him that, like, I don't like you guys. I don't want to do it this way. He looks so bummed out, by the way. Like, the dad was trying so hard.
I felt so sad, but, like, I get it, though. Like, it was really sweet of him to, like, try. But it was just really sad to, like, you know, like, I get it. I want to go to, like, this con, but, like, I don't want to go with a dad, you know?
Yeah, no one wants to go with their parents to a party, you know?
Yeah. It was so funny because, like, okay, so it's a side story that's, like, a quick minute. But, again, when I went on this trip to see my family, we were celebrating one of my cousins graduating because she got her RN, a registered nurse. You know, she fulfilled that. And so, like, we are all now, like, as my cousins and I are on the same age, we're all older. Like, you know, years past drinking age. So it was just really funny, like us trying to let loose as like the parents kind of like looked at us or will like try to embarrass us. So it's, and you know, it was still a good time, but like, you know, my own stepdad would try to like embarrass like us too, but like also embarrass himself too. He's not afraid to, you know, make a fool of himself and get out there. So it kind of gave me that kind of similar like secondhand embarrassment for Kamala's dad. You know, trying to be that like fun dad, like all in green because he went all out.
Yeah, and then running the matching solid Hulk costume. Yeah. You know,
that was really funny too because, like, you know, made her a matching costume and was like, oh, that's right, she already has her own costume. But still,
do you like her powers too? Like, so they changed him a little bit. I think I know why they changed him. I think there's probably a few reasons. So they originally, her powers are like she's an inhuman and she's like Mr. Fantastic, like she can change shape and stretch and stuff, and she usually uses it to make like a big fist or make herself huge like Giant Man. My guess is that not only is this difficult to do in live action without making them not look really weird, I think they also want to save that for Mr. Fantastic. Like, they don't want his power to be like the second person with that power, is my guess.
I have a theory that I like. I feel like, you know, and I think it's part of the writing too that they hinted on. I think in episode 2 or 3, her friend Bruno, who is like the tech guy in the show, like the young Tony Stark guy, he talked about how was it her grandma when she was on the phone, but one of them like mentioned a thing like, hey, like, you know, like this like thing that you're wearing, like that's not just like the power thing, but like something's coming in, was in. So like, what if like he, you know, she's an inhuman already, but like what that bracelet or whatever is going to manifest her to being stretchy, and I feel like they're going to honor her, what her actual powers are. So, like, maybe we'll see that at the end, like, episode 6, maybe?
I'm guessing it's going to be just like this.
You think
I think maybe best case, like, she doesn't need the bangle to actually use her powers. It seems like it's unlocked it. Like, so we should, I think we should talk about, like, I guess the larger MCU thing. So... Yeah. Effectively, what happened is you realize is some of her ancestors are from a different dimension. They use those bangles to get here. There's 2 of them. We don't know where the other one is. In order to get them back, they can't use them, but they need someone, I think, of this dimension to use them. And Kamala is of this dimension, it seems like. So they need her to use them to open up a hole or whatever to get them back. Interestingly, there's a couple of things here, right? So one, I think that the bangles are potentially a Kree relic. The Negabands is something. It was the Negabands. There's 2. I think it's the Negabands. I think the Negabands allowed people to transfer from the negative zone to the normal dimension that they normally live in. So there was like this, but it also gave you maybe power cosmic, something like that. I don't know if like Adam's. I don't know if not Adam Strange. I want to say Adam Strange, but that's DC. One of the Guardians had them, and they've kind of moved
around. Adam Warlock.
I don't know if Adam Warlock ever wore the Mega Bands, or if it was the original Captain Marvel before Carol Danvers. But I kind of think it's possible that these are the Mega Bands, and there's another one somewhere. We don't know where that other one is. And I think, much like the Terrigen Mist in the comics, unlocked her, like, kind of like, you know, silent DNA, these Kree relics potentially just unlocked her DNA, and she'll just maintain the ability to use her powers afterwards. So I think that's going to be the connection, because Kamala is also going to come back in the Marvels. So she has to have some kind of connection besides just her namesake to Captain Marvel, I think, in some way. And my guess is that there's going to be some kind of Kree connection, because also that hand that they pulled them off was blue. The Kree are blue. That seems like the most obvious reason. Like, they came off of a Kree. So I think there's going to be something. Like, I don't know. Maybe she was engineered by the Kree, or her family line was engineered by the Kree, much like the Inhumans. Whether or not they'll use the word Inhumans, who knows? But I think there's going to be some kind of connection with the Kree, the Negabands, other, you know, relics from Kree culture that provide her with power that's going to connect her to Captain Marvel.
Right. Well, we'll see. Like, I'm excited to see where this leads on. Like, it's, again, I was going to say, I've been enjoying every episode. Like, in episode 3, we got to see her use her powers a little bit, and we had a Bon Jovi song in the background. So I was like, all right, I'm digging this.
Did you catch that the mom said she loves Bon Jovi too?
Yep.
So
there we go. So I mean, again, I like how they're peeling back the layers and everything, and how we're getting a little more of it. So I'm continuing to enjoy the show. I think it's well written. So.
And so FYI, Figgy said, you know, by the end of the summer, he thinks it'll be fairly apparent kind of what Marvel's building towards. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious still that it's something with the multiverse and Kang and everything. I mean, they just keep adding it in. I don't know if you noticed too, but there was a scene when they were getting those Mega Bands or whatever the hell that relic is. The 10 rings was on the ground. So there's a connection to Shang-Chi too.
Right. I remember seeing that. Yep.
And now some people are also hypothesizing that maybe the 10 rings are like maybe also Cree or of a similar origin to these bands, because they also like they kind of glow light in a similar way. Captain Marvel and Bruce Banner at the end of Shang-Chi said, you know, I've never seen this before. It's not, you know, it's not vibranium.
It's not from this dimension.
It's not, yeah. Did they specifically say it's not from this dimension?
They specifically say it's not from this dimension, which I feel like, they specifically say
it's not from this dimension. I bet the rings and the bangle are not of this dimension, and they're probably connected in some way.
So we go back to, like, we recall the conversation about the rings, right, during our Shang-Chi review. I remember they're saying that, I think one of my favorite theories that we talked about that I heard was that, like, those rings are connected to, like, Galactus, right, somehow. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's, like, my favorite theory, because I'm like, I've been waiting for, like, Galactus to show up in this Marvel universe.
And now that we have
the Eternals, now that we have the Eternals, and again, I don't know if we ever put this in the beginning, but like we're gonna be spoiling everything as we talk about it. So, if you have not listened to, or as we didn't mention earlier, so we're gonna be spoiling like all the topics that we have today. But yeah, I'm excited to see now that we had from Doctor Strange. We know that we have a Reed Richards in the universe. I'm excited to see like if we're gonna get a Galactus coming in from, you know, another dimension or some shit, because now that we're having like different multiple dimensions in the universe discussing or whatever. I know that the other side note about what I've heard, and I think Marvel is going to Hall H for Comic-Con, so I feel like they have announcements, and they're gonna reveal the next big baddie. And I think I was talking to a friend, and I think they're saying that like maybe it's Dumarmu or whatever, who could be the other big baddie. Yeah.
I just really want to see Kang. I think they have Kang really teed up to be a big one. But also what I would love to see a little more is that I would love to see Kang kind of be built from like small threat to like really big one, because I don't think they've ever really done that with any individual. They've done that with Thanos, but like I kind of want to see him fight like a team first, get defeated, not die, and come back. Like in comics, right? Because they have a tendency to kill their villains and not reuse them. So I would love to see kind of the cycle of Kang somehow building himself up, because Kang actually fought the Young Avengers. Yeah, I think the Young Avengers' first villain was Kang. And again, like Kamala could be put into the Young Avengers. There's a lot of those Young Avengers running around, and you could form a team of Young Avengers with like Kamala, Kate Bishop. I don't know, somehow you could get Scarlet Witch's kids. You have the Patriot from Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So you could form that team. And then we also know that Kang is going to be in the next Wasp or Ant-Man and Wasp movie. So I feel like you could have multiple interactions with Kang until you do like that final big one, where you build up to like Secret Wars or something, because that also looks like, with the mention of incursions and stuff, it could be like this big, you know, lead up to some kind of Secret Wars crossover that maybe Kang's involved, maybe Doom is involved or something, or even Galactus.
If Doom gets announced as the next big baddie, I'm gonna lose my shit also.
I mean, Doom was responsible for the second Secret Wars. So it's also possible they want to take from that instead of the first one.
So then who was responsible for the first Secret Wars?
The Beyonder, I think. This is all guess. I didn't read that. The original Secret Wars, they only made it because they wanted to sell toys, I think. That was the rationale behind it.
I read a little bit of it, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to continue reading it if it's only to sell toys.
Well, I think it was just like this big fight scene. They wanted all the superheroes to fight each other, so like the Beyonder puts them all together to fight. That's technically where Spider-Man got the Venom suit, but I don't know if it was really driven so much by like, you know, the creative influx of writers and artists as much as other comics were at the time. So, but yeah, it's good. I like where it's going. I think Thor is going to reveal probably quite a bit about the future, maybe some drops. So, and then whatever they announce.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm trying to think when Comic-Con is because I don't remember what the dates are, but
I think it's usually July or August.
I know it's July. I just don't know if it's like before or after Thor. I'm assuming it's.
Oh no, it's after gotta be Thor. After. It's gotta be after Thor. Okay. I think.
Okay. I'm just excited to watch that because it's probably my most anticipated movie for the Marvel films for this year so far. But a lot of stuff again. What were we gonna say?
I was just gonna say, should we move on to the Boys? I think like you said, there's a lot of good stuff. I still really like what they're doing with the MCU, and I think they're still building it with a lot of intentionality. I think.
Yeah, it's just taking a minute, and I like the rebuilding. And everyone's getting I know that the norm is everyone's getting Marvel fatigue, but I'm like, whatever. I'm still enjoying this, and it's my comfort.
Yeah, I still like it. They're still good.
Yeah. Let's get on. Move on to the Boys. Again, we're gonna, as we're talking about it, we're just gonna just spoil everything and just go from episode. We're just gonna talk anything between episode 1 and 5. Right?
Or did you not watch episode 6?
No. Sorry. So you know what? All my cynicism, all my mess ups or whatever, I'm just gonna blame COVID. All right. So that is my excuse for today. But yeah, episode 1 through 6, we're gonna be dipping around and discussing, anything from there. So yeah. So Andrew, start us off.
Oh man, I still really love this show. I think it's amazing that this show is better than the comic book, which is just never happens, but still really good. The guy who plays Homelander is just absolutely crushing it. It's insane how good of an actor this guy is. He really plays an amazing sociopath. The premise of this season is pretty much that Homelander makes this intention of pretty much taking over Vought, and the boys are pretty much just trying to kill him. They're we gotta kill him. We gotta get rid of him. He's too dangerous. And we have Huey. He's working for the CIA. He becomes very disillusioned with it and starts kind of going back to his, the older ways of Butcher. But man, I don't even know where to start. Where we should start the conversation on this though.
Let's start out with the first two things in the very first episode. We get another Charlize Theron's cameo as she plays the movie version of Stormfront. And I think that's...
Oh, that was Charlize Theron?
Yeah, that was Charlize Theron's, yeah. And as she did a similar cameo, the exact same turnaround as she did in the Doctor Strange cameo. Which I thought was hilarious. So I loved seeing her just pop in and be like, what's up? I'm not coming out, I thought it was hilarious and it was great. And then we have the tick scene. I used to think that HBO was we don't give a fuck. We're HBO. We're going to show whatever we want. And
gosh, the shrinking. Right. Man. Jesus Christ. You know what? I will say the Boys does. They definitely do not hesitate to remind you how graphic this show is, especially from the
game. Right, exactly. And they're Amazon Prime's hold my beer. Hold on, boys, take it away. And literally we see a guy enter a urethra and then blow up a human from the inside.
Yeah, he sneezes and blows up that person into a million pieces, and there's just a torso on a bed. And it's always there'll always be multiple parts. There have been a few so far where I'm watching but kind of between my hands almost, because it's that oh god, I don't know if I want to see this.
Because
it's tough. It's really that graphic, you know?
You want to look away, but then you can't. And that's how I am. I'm just well, okay, this is where we're going. Oh, fuck. Okay. They did it. They decided to do that. Should we just okay, so it's just because they're really good at making things graphic, but also shocking.
No, it is very shocking.
That was shocking. My other most shocking moment that I've seen so far is the Death by Dildo scene. Kimiko.
Kimiko is fighting everyone with dildos.
Yeah. But just the first, just like, again, like give her an assignment, hey, go in and like, you know, kill this guy. And you think she's gonna take her time and like, you know, blend in or whatever. But no, she grabs like the biggest, hardest dildo and then just straight up like rams it from the back of the neck to the guy through like their mouth. I'm like, oh my God.
That was pretty bad. I'm gonna do mine and then we can talk about some of like the character developments. But my hardest one was actually in the newest episode when A-Train kills what's his face, that guy, by dragging him.
Damn, yeah.
That one was rough. Yeah. I was like, oh no, like that one was really rough. Cause like you can see him being dragged and you know what's happening, and then they just like show what happened at the end. Like he A-Train collapses and you see the guy and you're like, oh my God.
Yep. But regardless of like how graphic it is and how good the show looks, it also has amazing writing towards the characters.
No, it's really, really good. So I don't know where you want to. I think some of the most interesting characters, I would say Homelander, MM, and Huey have very interesting character arcs so far.
I love MM is one of my favorite characters in the show. And I like his arc, and I like that part of the plot line for the season, is that those boys, or like the boys are trying to find a weapon to kill Homelander, which they end up finding a soldier boy who is also a well-known,
he's a combination of, at least in this context, he's a combination of Captain America and Bucky. He's different. I mean, like before he was more of a Bucky surrogate, but in this context, in the TV show, they've pretty much made him Captain America more so.
So I like the back and forth, right? Because we have like, again, going with like Huey's arc and what her name is, I forgot, like who plays Annie. Like, you know, the division of like, you know, on the moral side, like who's right, you know what I mean? Like when it comes to like, you know, doing whatever it takes to like stop Homelander.
They're trying to play it a much more moral game, I think, than Butcher and Huey in trying to stop Homelander. I mean, MM's really interesting because like they really got, I mean, like you see a lot of his, you know, interactions with his kid. He's really, really worried about his daughter because of like the idiot stepdad who keeps having her watch like, you know, the Fox News surrogate talking about Homelander, and you know, Homelander is his clear surrogate, and like compare, I mean, like he's pretty much played out like exactly like Donald Trump, I think, in a lot of ways, and like extreme conservatism in America and stuff. Like they even have that line where I think it was Liberty's character, she's said from last season that they've repeated a couple times, it's like everyone agrees with me, they just don't like the word Nazi, which I know for some people, they'll think, oh, it's too on the nose, maybe, politically. But I feel like this completely resonates with current American politics, to be perfectly honest.
No, but this is what I love about the show, right? Because, like, in America, like, this is exactly what I would fear would be reality if we actually had superheroes exist in our world. Like, it wouldn't be about being heroes. It would be about branding them and making money off of them, like Vought would be, you know. So like I think, like, as for like the, you know, on the nose, 100% on the nose is what I would feel I could say, because I think in the end of episode 3 was Homelander, he's all like, he gives his rant, right? It's his birthday, he gives his like rant about like, you know, how he is like the greatest and can, you know, wants to speak his mind and do whatever he wants, and all of a sudden his like approval ratings go up the roof, right? Because he says all this crazy shit or whatever.
He's like Trump. He's finally doesn't, you know, there's a certain contingency of America that loves him, and if he doesn't, you know, if he says the most outrageous, crazy, scary shit, people love him for it. So, you know, he went from the beginning of the season, he was, you know, very kind of like, you know, the apologizing politician, right? He's going on tour to apologize for dating a Nazi by accident, and he just gets fed up with it and stops. I mean, what's the guy's name? Is it Anthony Starr?
Yeah. Anthony Starr is yeah.
He's killing it. He's really, really good. Amazing. Like the facial expressions that he does is like nuts. It's like, it almost reminds me of like, they're not similar, but it reminds me of Heath Ledger's Joker. Like, you know, he did the thing with his mouth and like these weird nervous tics that the Joker had that just made him more creepy.
Yeah.
Like the way that Homelander, you can just see he's like internalizing all of this shit. when bad stuff happens to him, it's just like in the way that his lip kind of moves and like his like blank stare and stuff. It's just like it. He looks like a fucking insane person, and the things that he's making people do, just because he can. Like that scene where he made the Deep eat that octopus. It's like so fucked up.
Dude, even the octopus thing, and then made the. It was horrible because, again, like, you know, the whole, the making the girl commit suicide. And it's like, holy shit. Like, this is a great villain written. Like, you love to hate him, and it's fucking scary. And so you have to give where credit's due. Like, this guy just, he's just killing it, like, as an actor and this yeah. role.
And Huey, I think, is really interesting, too, because, like, so Huey's now in a position where he feels, at the beginning at least, he felt like he was doing something. He felt like he was helping, he was fixing things. He very quickly realizes it wasn't as effective as he thought because he realizes his boss, the, I don't know her name, but she's the analog of AOC, right? She's also a soup. She can blow up people's heads. And he gets freaked out that he's working for a soup. And you can tell there's this power struggle between him and Annie where he wants to feel like he can help Annie, but because Annie has powers, he doesn't feel like he can. So he starts getting addicted to temporary V because he's addicted to the power. And he's like a drug addict straight up, right? Like he's addicted to the power of what it makes him feel like he's useful and stuff. And that's not what Annie even wants from him. But like he's so insecure about, you know, his inability to like help her or take care of her that like he just doesn't care. And he's just like, you know, pushing her away more and more and more just because of his insecurities.
I do like how they're like explaining how like the drug works too, like to give you certain powers, but then they will amplify like your emotions. Like if you're an asshole, like you're going to become a bigger asshole when it comes to these things, or just like with Butcher, explained that, and it's still great. Like I still think Butcher is also, again, every character is great, but he's also one of my other favorites because he's so complex, like wanting to be a good person, but like still saying fuck you to like the whole world, you know, and whatnot. So like it's just been, I'm really enjoying the arc that all these characters are going through and like the internal struggle, because like. And I get, like, where Huey's coming from, too, is, like, well, like, you know, I want to be able to protect the one I love, not just, like, emotionally, but, like, physically. Like, I want to be able to, like, say to someone, I'm tired of being the one and handling the stress. Like, but he shouldn't feel that way. Like, he needs to learn how to work with what he has and be there for his partner. So it's been an interesting, I've been enjoying the arc between those two.
Dude, what about that conversation when Soldier Boy was awake? Did you catch all those references? Man, that shit was fucked up, too.
Wait, what were they? Remind me?
The Cosby one. Remember the Bill Cosby?
Oh, shit.
That's so fucked up. And he's like, oh, Bill Cosby is like America's uncle or America's dad or something. And then he's like, oh, man, that guy made really strong drinks. And it's like, oh, no.
God damn it. I forgot that last line. Yeah.
No, I do kind of like this interpretation of two of Soldier Boy. I think Mark Millar had in the Ultimates had kind of portrayed Captain America kind of like this, not so intensely. But the rationale was that like, hey, if you unfreeze someone from the 1940s into current society, there's a high probability that they're going to be behaving like in what most people now would perceive as like insanely sexist. So I think the Captain America of the Ultimate Universe was like way more militant and had these like very sexist attitudes that were normal for his time because he was from the 1930s. And this is what we got here. He's, you know, he made all those jokes about how he's like, oh, men really walk around with those things when they have like a picture of like a man holding this baby like strapped to them and stuff. So he has these very old ideologies that just like don't mix so well, like, you know, 50 years later.
It's crazy. That's why, like, again, honestly, it's funny that I mentioned the whole serum, right, or whatever, that they're getting from Block, is like, similarly, we have that same kind of discussion in the Marvel Universe with Steve Rogers, right? Because, like, what made Steve Rogers special is that he wasn't an asshole. He had a pure heart from the start. And, like, you know, why, like, that, and they even mention it in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier about, like, you know, like, this serum would, like, you know, amplify those emotions of what you already are, kind of deal. Like, if you're emotional, then you're going to be overly emotional or whatever. It's just like what we got with the Patriot guy. So it's just kind of crazy to, like, how they have the similar kind of rules in The Boys. But at least with Steve Rogers, he was pure of heart. So luckily, he didn't come out to be a racist asshole, you know?
Yeah, Steve is special.
Yeah, so they made Steve special. And it was well planned for that to be, for Steve to be like that. Because, yeah, like you said, if you have free someone from the 40s or 30s and they come back, like, yeah, their ideologies are going to be way, like, way old school when it comes to, like, sexism and everything else that comes with it. But he's, that guy's doing a phenomenal job
at playing. Yeah, no, he's doing. I really like his soul. I like the, there's a lot of small things too I like about him. Like, I like how Huey tried to pick up his shield and he couldn't pick it up. He's like too heavy. There's just like a lot of small things in here that are really interesting. What did you think of episode 6?
Episode 6, that is Herogasm.
Did you know this was coming? Because so for me, like, I didn't finish reading The Boys because, to be honest, it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
But I was aware that there was a miniseries called Herogasm that is just based off of, like a huge sex party. And they highly advertised through media and interviews. Like, Eric Kripke was like, oh, we're doing a Herogasm episode. Like, we could, you know, it's going to be ridiculous.
And ridiculous it was. It was, it's crazy because, like, it gave me what I've been wanting to wait, what I've been waiting for, which has nothing to do with any of the sex scenes, but I've been waiting for, like, the fight between, what's it called, Butcher and Homelander, and we finally get a little bit of that fight towards taking him down. So, like, the leading to that was, like, what I really, really wanted. But as for, like, the, yeah, they didn't hold back. We have the guy with the elastic stretchy penis show up again.
Oh, yeah, something meat. I forget what they called that guy, something meat.
Yeah, so that was fun. I, like,
opens up a door he shouldn't have opened up.
Yeah. So it's gnarly. And I, again, saw more than I expected to see, you know, on a you know, television episode.
Two things about the fight. One, I'm surprised Homelander knew how to fight. I almost was expecting him to just get his ass kicked by Soldier Boy, because I just figured he's so strong, he's not used to fighting. So when presented with, like, a real challenge, he just doesn't know what to do. So I'm a little surprised he held his own. Two, I thought it was hilarious that Soldier Boy made fun of his cape and then pulled him from his cape and slammed him on the ground. That was hilarious. So that's, like, the hilarious kind of funny writing that they threw in there, right? Because he made fun of it before using it.
That's why I'm, like, I'm loving it. Like, the thing is, like, here's what I was talking to, like, a friend of mine saying, like, you know, oh, that Soldier Boy might be, like, a one-off, right? Where, like, they, you know, make a great character and then they, you know, obviously kill him off. But it's, like, I don't want to see him get killed off, right? The actors playing him.
They have at least one more. They have another season at least.
That's true. They got proof.
I wonder what they're gonna do. I wonder if they're gonna depower Homelander in, like, next season, because you can't get rid of Homelander. Once he's dead. the series is over. So they'll either be unsuccessful, which I don't know what that's gonna do, because now we're in this position too where, like, Homelander is going to be hated by 50% of Americans. He's going to be like Donald Trump, right? Like, 50% will hate him. There'll be a small contingency who loves him. And then there'll be, you know, 40% of people who will just deal with him. They don't care. So you can't, I mean, like, you could depower him. And then next season, he's trying to get his powers back. I feel like he can't run Vought forever, because that's clearly, like, making him go nuts. And that was funny, too, that, you know, I'm just going to call him Gustavo Fring. Warned him that he wouldn't be able to do that, and he clearly can't run Vought very well. So I'm curious where they're going to leave him at the end of this season.
I hope they bring him back, his character Stan Edgar. They have to bring him back, because I really like him. As he's just so good at being, like, the business scary guy, you know?
He always does that now. I feel like he's been pegged. He's been pegged as, like the very intimidating, calm person, you know what I mean? Like, he's the same, too, in The Mandalorian. I mean, like, he was maybe a little more intense in some scenes, but he was also quite calm, but also intimidating.
But we'll see. I mean, I would be interested in seeing Homelander be depowered and then trying to, like, and seeing him suffer for a bit and getting his powers back and then, like, breaking, like, making, you know, being crazy again or whatever. But, yeah, I'm interested to see, like, what they're going to do in season four for, because, again, I don't know how much further they can take it with where they're going right now, that they're having, you know, a way of, like, Butcher and the boys to be able to get powered up and, like, fight him and take him on and whatnot. Like, I don't want to see another villain added into this series because I think it's an amazing villain. And I think it's about, I think he is, like, the main story guy. Like,
Homelander. I think they can add more, but I think ultimately, like, the show always, it's got to maintain, like, it's the boys versus Homelander. Like, that's the main goal. And maybe they get sidetracked on the way. But, like, that's always got to be the primary mission. And then whenever that mission is over, the show's over, I think. I would hope, too.
I think that's, like, what I think would hopefully be, like, what ends up happening in this thing.
Okay, well, we have two more episodes to find out this season.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see it. I think that's the one. Yeah, the next time we talk, I think we're going to talk about the finale of The Boys. All right, cool. That's a great show. Do not watch. It's not a family-friendly show. They even have a disclosure. They even wrote a funny disclosure in the beginning of episode 6.
Yeah, episode 6 had a funny one.
Yeah. Well, let's jump back into something more family-friendly. Let's go into Obi-Wan.
I got a lot of weird thoughts about Obi-Wan, Andy.
I just realized, I told Andrew before we started recording, I'm like, should we do Obi-Wan or like Miss Marvel, Obi-Wan, then The Boys, right? But feeling Andrew's like energy and attitude when it comes to like Star Wars, I'm like, okay, no, we have to say it for last because he's going to have thoughts. And I'm like,
I have a lot of strange thoughts about it. So I'd go with like
let's talk about it. Okay, overall.
Overall, I think it's good, and I enjoyed watching it. But the thing is like, I think it had a lot of scenes and a lot of, like, kind of character developments that were very, very interesting to watch. And I think they're kind of sprinkled in throughout every episode. But I think overall, like, from the story arc, like, I think the structure that, like, put the characters in the right places to do those scenes and make those kind of emotional developments for the characters, like, I'm not as fond of. Like, I think I'm not super fond of young Leia. Like, she's fine. Like, whatever. I don't care.
It was a 10-year-old Leia. So, like, I like what they used her for.
I don't even know if I like the idea of Leia. I mean, like, maybe I'm being too annoying Star Wars fan, but I don't even know if I like the idea that much of Leia meeting him anyway.
Okay.
But I still kind of think she acted a little too mature for a 10-year-old. I get it. She's going to be a senator and she's Princess Leia, but I think it was a little too heavy. I mean, nothing about her was a 10-year-old besides maybe the very beginning. I think that was a little weird. I think the way, and we can talk more specifically about some of these things, but I think the interactions between Obi-Wan and Vader were great, but the final, like, how it's resolved, I think, is strange. I think there were moments where they made Vader look a little dumb, which I think is a bad decision, because I think Vader should always look highly confident. I don't understand why lightsabers are no longer capable of killing people. I find this very strange and very un-Star Wars-y, because typically, like, lightsabers is, like, most of the time it kills you, but I guess there's a reason for this, too, that we can talk about that is also somewhat weird and, like, not fully explicit either, to be honest. I like the twist with Reva and what her real motivations were, but, like, her execution of what she's trying to do seemed a little sloppy and strange to me. So I don't know. It was weird. There's a lot of interactions that I liked and a lot of character developments that I liked. I liked the character developments that Obi-Wan acquired. I just don't know if like they always made sense the entire way through, if that makes sense.
I agree. I can see your viewpoint, which makes, I feel like between the two of us, you're the much bigger Star Wars fan. And of course I was going towards like, you know, okay, is this still like overall a decent show? Am I engaged? Do I like, you know, where it's going? And it, to me, it was kind of a slow burn for some of the moments, right? And then for some reason, episode 4 kind of got goofy with for me.
Which one was that because, one again?
In episode 4, like, they had a bunch of, like, it felt like a filler episode where they were, like, you know, trying to escape to the pod or whatever, where, you know, Leia was caught and Obi-Wan and the other, I forgot her name.
Oh, what, when they have to break into the ship?
Yeah, they're into the ship, and it's her.
I like that.
And
I like that premise, though. I really love those premises of like having to break into Star Destroyers and stuff.
I mean, I do too. I just don't think it was well executed, and it was too goofy. Like when Obi-Wan and Tala had to like, you know, finally got Leia, and like they're like hiding like a person under a robe that you can clearly see like another pair of feet,
yeah, you're
around
right,
a bunch
weird.
Of people. So like, I don't know, it just bugged me. And then at one point, like Tala just like smacks one of the stormtroopers, and they get knocked out by a smack to the helmet with their hand. You know, it's like an open palm slap, and it knocks them out or whatever. But it's just a lot of like mini goofy like. Okay, listen, how can we get out of the situation quickly? And then all of a sudden, like, yeah. All right, whatever, the silliest thing worked. And I don't know whether it was, like, budget-wise that they, like, only stuck it to, like, trying to be grounded and not trying to get as crazy. I feel like they could have done a lot more. I saw some other reviews where, like, you know, bigger Star Wars fans made some good points of, like, when they were escaping the ships or whatever, like, that's an Imperial ship, right? That they were on Imperial Guard ship. I'm like, don't they have like TIE fighters and troops that like they can get out and like destroy something?
Yeah, so normally like, they should have some TIE fighters and stuff on there.
Yeah, so like it would have been cool to like, you know, see some more actual like action in space and like TIE fighters like, you know, coming after you and like having, we had, you know, a couple, I don't know, like more rebels or whatever kind of involved. So
yeah, no,
I don't know.
I feel
like they could have done a lot more, is what I'm saying.
There's a lot of this stuff. Like, okay, the one thing that I'm really confused on is like, okay, how come lightsabers aren't killing people when they're getting stabbed in the stomach? And I get it. Okay, so there's a history of people living past lightsaber wounds. Darth Maul was like kind of the first one. He got chopped in half, somehow lived through. The first Inquisitor somehow lived through that. Reba's makes absolutely no sense to me. Supposedly the thing that makes you live, I guess, is like the dark side, I guess they say, and they've insinuated this in I think episode 3 and elsewhere, is that like hatred can allow you to live through a lot if you're using the dark side of the Force. So that supposedly that's how Anakin lived through losing to Obi-Wan the first time. Like his hatred kept him alive. And that's kept him alive long enough for them to fix him. Same with Maul. His hatred kept him alive long enough for someone to fix him. I don't get why Reva's alive, though. Reva gets stabbed, and then her hatred keeps her alive, but no one fixes her. So she's just like, what, her wound healed? And they don't say anything about it, and it bothers me, because it makes me think that, like, Vader didn't notice that he didn't kill someone. And I'm like, no, Vader notices that, like... Vader's not an idiot. Like, you have to make Vader crazy intimidating. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. Like, Vader has to be very, very scary and very capable. So, like, I think it's fine that Vader ultimately kind of, like, lost to Obi-Wan. That's a very personal relationship that was going on there, and Obi-Wan trained him. But I just think it's so weird that, like, Vader wouldn't know that Reba wasn't dead. And then they just don't acknowledge that, like, she somehow lived through being stabbed by a lightsaber. Like, I don't get that. Did you think that was weird?
No, because, you know, they announced she's going to have a spinoff, so they needed to keep her alive.
But then don't stab her with a lightsaber then, right? They could just do that, like, tell the audience member why she's alive. Like, it's just really weird. It's just like, it seems like in a lot of other contexts, you just show the person getting fixed, and then this one's like, nope, it's fine. Like, she's still alive. So I just thought that was so weird, and it bothers me, because I think Vader would have noticed. Vader should have noticed that.
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, are we dealing with a young, you know, Darth Vader, where he's still kind of, like, emotionally, like, you know, messed up and not, like, as intimidating kind of deal? But, again, it still make him, like, epically strong and, like, still
no, he's early.
Yeah.
He's definitely earlier. And they make him badass, to be honest. When he pulls down that ship, that was badass. But that was a better way to outsmart him. They knew he was too strong. In that scenario, they outsmarted him. Right, because so they waited for him to pull down the other one, and then they went off on their own. And it looked cool. It made Vader terrifying, and then he goes. I think the one with the Reba just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I agree. With Reba, it didn't make any sense, and I don't know what, like, again, it's the rules that, like, it's magic, right? Like, they make up their own rules, and we're like, well, you know, we want the person to live, and they're going to live because we choose to write it that way. Is it good writing? No. Could they have had her, like, you know, like you said, get fixed up? Sure. You know? And like, maybe, like, she still has part of the dark side in her, and which made her, like, you know, still survive and be able to get messed up, but, like, she has a hole inside her. And if that, you know... And if a whole
you have to fix your organs,
right? Like, Qui-Gon should have survived, then, you know.
Well, I think Qui-Gon's not a user of the dark side, so, like, users of the light side of the Force don't have this, like, hatred inside of them that would keep them alive, supposedly.
Which but I mean, actually, like, is it a rule for the dark side to survive? Was, like, getting a hole inside of you? There should be a rule for the Jedi once you get a hole inside of you to survive. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be some kind of, like, balance and argument for both sides, is what I'm saying. Like, there has to be the dark side trick. There has to be, like, the light side trick or whatever.
I think the light side, the equivalent is that, I guess, they accept it, but you can commune with the dead instead. Like, it's kind of interesting, actually, if they... I accept Star Wars for what it is. I know there's no intentionality a lot. They built this universe not intending for any of this to ever happen. So, like, you can't hold it to the same standards as, like, other shared universes. It's just not fair. But it's kind of interesting where, like, the dark side of the Force, like, those people have become very obsessed with, like, keeping themselves alive and, like, using their hatred to stay alive longer and longer. But the light side of the Force accepts death for what it is. And instead of keeping themselves alive, they figured out a way to allow light side users to commune with the dead instead. So you can still maintain a relationship with someone who you may have lost, and you can still talk to them afterwards, which is interesting. And it'd be nice if, I mean, like, you could just talk about that, not necessarily openly, but, like, it's a, you know, that could be an interesting thing for Star Wars to actually do. I feel like it's a very subtle thing, I would think, and maybe a lot of people haven't noticed that. In Star Wars, often I think they don't point these things out so well in the way that they could, because I think they're often very afraid to define, at least now, they over-defined what the Force was with the fucking midichlorians. They overdid it, and now maybe they're underdoing it a little bit.
Right. Makes sense.
But I did really like the show overall. I mean, like, I think the confrontation between Anakin and Vader was awesome. And I think, you know, how there was a lot of interesting imagery there, because, like, he cuts open the mask and, you know, Anakin says, like, you didn't kill Anakin, I killed Anakin. And, you know, the guilt that Obi-Wan has over him, and he kind of learns to accept it and all this stuff. I thought it was a really cool battle. It was a really interesting and emotional thing for them to have seen each other again before A New Hope. Also, though, I think it's really weird that he lets him live. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, you just said Anakin is dead, and then you let him live. Like, you could have fixed all of this then. You could have stopped it all. And Obi-Wan actively chooses not to, which is, like, okay, very strange writing decision. Because Obi-Wan couldn't do it because it was Anakin, that would make sense. But he literally says right before, well, then I guess my friend has died.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
who's writing this? Like,
isn't it a part of the Jedi way that they're not supposed to, like, kill, right?
The Jedi killed a bunch of people during the Clone Wars. I mean, that's kind of the rationale why they were corrupt. I mean, they were corrupting themselves, kind of. Like, you know, they were interfering way too much with the Clone Wars, and, you know, they were not peacekeepers anymore.
Right. So, but it's hard, because, again, I just don't know what the rules are. It's just a very strange
decision. Like, I love the confrontation between the two, and I love the two being able to do that conflict, but I just feel like the writers have no way of they're just like, I don't know how to wrap this up. This is good enough.
Oh, no, yeah, like I said, like, I loved the interaction between them. Darth Vader still is a badass. I love the fight between them, you know, when it came to, like, you know, getting their powers and whatnot, and like, the emotional aspect of it, right? So, like, I get it. Like, I still think that, like, Obi-Wan still sees Darth Vader as Anakin, so I still feel like he can't bring himself to, like, kill him and all that. So
this is why that's the best thing to think of, right? That's, I guess, the only subtext I can rationalize why he wouldn't have. Right. I think it's really weird that they explicitly have that line right beforehand, but I mean, like I said, like, the Star Wars universe, I held it to a really, really loose continuity in that sense, because its continuity doesn't make sense nearly as much as a lot of other dialogue universes.
Yeah, if you listen to the dialogue. I was talking to a friend about this, that dialogue when they were having that exchange, and my friend made some good points about, like, what he thought. I liked his perspective on it, and what he ended up saying was that saying that, like, Obi-Wan felt all this guilt for all this entire time, saying that he, you know, it was his fault that Anakin became the way he did, blah, 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 all that kind of deal. But, you know, and Obi-Wan at the very end point when they're, you know, he cuts Vader down, he's like, you know, Obi-Wan again is like, I'm sorry, Anakin, I'm sorry for all this, and blah, blah, blah. And Darth Vader's like, you didn't kill him, I did. To not give Obi-Wan that satisfaction of, like, you know, of, like, making himself feel better kind of deal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's like, hey, like, it's like an F you to you saying, like, I'm not going to give you that, you know, like, yeah, no, you're not, you can't just apologize. I'm not going to give you that. Like, you know, you didn't do anything. I created this, so, like, I'm my own, you know, like, monster and blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, it's weird because yet, like, Anakin is obsessed with, like, trying to find Obi-Wan and, like, destroy him, you know? So
yeah,
it's weird.
There were some other weird ones, like so he lets Obi-Wan go after he drags him to the fire. I assumed because he still wanted to chase him, like, he thought it was fun. It's like, okay, I get it. But then the next episode, it really didn't seem like that. Like, he seemed like he really wanted him now and then. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's weird. So anyway, I don't want to complain too much about it. I think the context in which they made these things happen was very, very strange. But there were a number of things that I really enjoyed watching. Like, I like the underground tunnel. That was awesome to see that there's, like, this underground network of people trying to help people move and keep Jedis alive. The confrontation with the fire was crazy. Like, we talked about that one, but that was nuts to see Vader being that brutal towards Obi-Wan. Final fight was cool. Vader being a badass was cool. It's good. I mean, like, I liked it. I liked it overall. I still think it's worth watching, and I still enjoyed watching it every week, even though I kept finding these strange things plot-wise that I couldn't rationalize, right, in my head.
You know,
it's Star Wars. You just take it for what it is.
Yeah, and I'm going to be optimistic here, because I feel like now that we've had all these things fulfilled, right, we are finally taking a semi-step away from like, the Skywalker saga. And I'm not talking about, like, Luke Skywalker. I'm talking about, like, Anakin Skywalker saga, because, like, it literally is, like, his whole story, right? We wouldn't have Star Wars without Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader. From what a friend pointed out, that it made sense to me. Because, again, like, I am not, like, I love Star Wars. I'm into it, you know, and I watch their stuff. But I don't think I'm as hardcore as, like, you know, the hardcore Star Wars fans.
Well, you don't watch the Clone Wars. Like, you know, all those random references from, like, that episode of Boba Fett, like, all these random fucking people coming in and everyone going nuts. Like,
yeah. And again, I wish I could experience that, like, you know, because, I mean, with Marvel, like, every now and then I'm just like, oh, shit, it's this guy. Oh, shit, like, that's an Easter egg from this, you know? Like, I don't get that same, like, those same, like, you know, satisfactions or, like, call-outs with, like, Star Wars. But I still enjoy, like, the content that they put out, right? Because, like, I loved Mandalorian. I enjoyed the Book of Boba Fett, and that had its issues, too. And then I enjoyed watching Obi-Wan overall, too.
Do you like this more than the book? Do you like Obi-Wan or Book of Boba Fett more?
I would, if I had to rewatch.
You have to pick one to rewatch. Which one do you pick?
Probably the Book of Boba Fett.
I think I would do that too.
I just feel like the Book of Boba Fett felt more Star Wars to me. Because it's, you know, more of a Western and everything. And again, maybe because it became the Book of the Mandalorian.
Yeah, I mean, I like the flashbacks, I think, a lot more than other people did. I think Boba Fett's not acting so much like Boba Fett, but, like, whatever. They rationalized it to the best of their ability.
I mean, this is coming from someone who'd never read any of the comics or, like, any of Boba Fett content, right? But it's like, I legitimately only saw Boba Fett in episode 6 with the cool armor.
Yeah,
at the bounty hunter. And get sliced down and get swallowed.
I don't even like Boba Fett that much either, to be honest. Like, he just has cool armor.
Right, but my point is that, like, we didn't, like, for me, like, I didn't know who Boba Fett was to start with, right? Except for, like, episode 1 and 2, or, like, episode 2 when they started to, like, you know, the biggest thing is that, like, a Jedi cut off his dad's head, right?
Yeah.
Because Samuel Jackson... Mace Windu sliced off Jango Fett's head. Yeah. So it's like, if I would have gotten a backstory of, like, Boba Fett hating the Jedi because he saw a Jedi murder his dad, that would make sense to me. But we didn't even get that. Like, you know, we know he's a bounty hunter and, you know, gets paid because he's really good at that or whatever. But besides that, like, there was no other context about Boba Fett and what we know about him, you know. I was just giving what I was, I just took what I was given with that. Same thing with, like, Obi-Wan. We have a little bit of backstory of him, like, trying to communicate with, like, Qui-Gon, and we got more of him in Clone Wars, but I didn't see Clone Wars, so it's like, I'm trying to justify what I was given, you know, that I feel like it could have been given more, and I feel like it could have been more satisfying because Disney has all the money in the world. I feel like we could have gotten better quality is all I'm saying. It wasn't bad. I'm just saying the quality could have been better for Obi-Wan.
Yeah. No, it could have also been, I always wonder now, whenever I watch stuff, I wonder if it's like COVID problems. Like, I was doing the same thing when I was watching Stranger Things. I think that was also a COVID problem because, like, they had to, like, silo the scenes, I think. Like, they could only have so many people in certain scenes, it looked like. I wonder if there was a COVID issue there that just made difficult filming, so they had to change.
That is true. But I mean, like, story, with Loki, yeah. Loki, they had to do the same thing, but, like, with Loki, it worked. I feel like Loki, I had fun watching every episode of Loki. You know, so... Even with, like, the dialogue back and forth, like, I still enjoyed the conversations they had because I feel like they were important and I feel like, you know, the emotional stakes were there. I didn't feel like there was such high emotional stakes until we finally got to see Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, you know?
Yeah.
So that was pretty much, you know, like, all I... And again, my favorite parts were just, like, them interacting with each other. Like, when you know, their first little, like, practice lightsaber fight. And then when they had that end conversation. But that's about it. And I feel bad saying that because, you know, I feel like I'm not giving it as much credit as it deserves or something. But, like, that's what I enjoyed the most, I guess, is what I should say.
No, I get you. I agree. So, it's good. Let's see the next one. Next one's Andor, which is interesting because for apparently Andor, they've already, like, openly said it's going to be like 3 to 5 seasons or something.
That's the next live action?
Yeah, that comes out in August. I'm totally down with. I liked Rogue One. I love K2SO. He's, I think, one of the best droids. So And it's like a new cast of characters, right? It's like people no one knows. I like that. They've done very well with that so far, like especially with The Mandalorian. Maybe they'll pull in some people from like Rebels or something somehow, given the timeline, because I think Rebels would have occurred around the same time. It'd be cool. But otherwise,
Yeah, but like I said, this one makes me optimistic, right? Now that we don't need to play so much with the Skywalker saga, we can have things like this now more pop up. I think the next thing that will connect us more towards, you know, the Anakin or the Skywalker saga would be possibly the next season of Mandalorian and Ahsoka, right? If anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're going to try going to a new direction of, like, making it more like a Star Wars, you know, fun thing. But we'll see what happens. I'm still going to watch whatever they give me on Disney Plus, because, you know, I am liking everything that they're giving me so far when it comes to, like, Marvel and whatnot. Like, as soon as Ms. Marvel ends, right, I think we get maybe, like, a little bit of a break, and then we get...
She-Hulk in August.
She-Hulk.
So yeah. She-Hulk and Andor both start in August, or the next two.
So yeah, again, it keeps me going, right? Like, all right, I'm there for it. But yeah, I feel like we'll see what happens. And hopefully, we'll continue to get some good Star Wars content. All right, any final thoughts? Anything while we wrap this up?
No, it's still good. I still like it, even though I think it's weird. It's still really good.
For sure. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much all I have, you know, for that. And we have Thor, Love, and Thunder for our next review.
Yours is in 2 weeks also, right? Is
which one?
Thor comes out in 2 weeks for you also. Or it's not this Friday, is it?
No, you're right. It's not this weekend, but since we're not recording... Yeah, because I'm not recording. Since we're not recording next Sunday, the following Sunday, that would be like the weekend that opens.
Cool. Very excited for Thor.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Christian Bale being the villain. I'm excited to like see some of the Guardians.
And I'm really excited to see Christian Bale's. I've very intentionally not watched anything. And Christian Bale's, I think he's got some strange personal things going on. But he's... an incredible actor, and he's a fucking dedicated actor, at least in terms of his physicality. The dude will do anything.
Oh god. Yeah.
To get into character. So I think Gore, I think really has the potential to be like a really highlight villain out of all of the MCU, I think.
Ooh, okay. Makes me more excited. Cause I mean, again, the last thing I'm also really excited about is Natalie Portman as Thor also. So, and I don't, you know, I did see only one trailer and I was like already super hyped. I'm just like, just give it to me now. Why I don't really watch trailers, because I just like, if it's something I'm going to watch, it's like, I don't need a trailer. Just like, give me it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to like see everyone in action. It seems like a very like, I don't know. I'm just super excited. So we'll see. We'll hold off on like everything until that comes up, and then yeah, we're just gonna keep this going. And then I think that by next time we'll have the end of Stranger Things, which we'll have more of an in-depth conversation, and end of The Boys. So we pretty much have like our next episode ready.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So this has been I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. See you guys next time.